Hello. On this podcast, we talk about movies, their faults, their flaws, and their plots. So, expect some spoilers.
You've been warned.
Welcome to Plot Spackle. I'm John, and I like the Shelby AC Cobra car. Give me a blue one.
I'm Eric, and I'm a fan of the Ariel Atom, a car that can tear your face off.
I'm Richard, and I want myself a little Lotus Elise, all nice black and murdered out.
All right, guys. Got some cars. I wonder if we're talking about a movie that has cars in it.
Must be that new Fast and the Furious.
Is it that Speed Racer movie?
I don't know, but it's for anyone who has the need for speed here on Plot Spackle that we have to figure out. We got these plot holes. What are we filling them with, guys?
Oh, I think there's some flaming hypercar bits.
So some minced McLaren?
A rack of Lambo.
And a nice Koenig salad.
Well, now I'm just starting to feel hungry.
We're here talking about Need for Speed, yet another video game movie.
They made a lot of these, you guys.
So, for some reason, they keep going back to the video game movies.
Look, people assume that video games work as a great visual medium when they're closer to books.
All right, so Richard, you played Need for Speed. What's the plot of the game?
Well, that depends on which game you're talking about.
Which is Need for Speed, first one.
Oh, you race cars.
Cool. Eric, what's the plot of the movie, Need for Speed?
Apparently you race cars. No. Well, yes, but... So, in Need for Speed, we are treated to Jesse Pinkman trying to clear his name. Jesse is the owner of a garage in need of a desperate influx of cash. After fixing up a one-of-a-kind Mustang for an acquaintance, his pride gets the better of him and he bets it all on the outcome of a race. But because Pinkman is racing against our antagonist, he isn't able to finish the race when the antagonist kills Pinkman's friend. Pinkman is then convicted of manslaughter for his friend's death. And after 2 years in prison, Pinkman, in a bid to clear his name and bring justice to the antagonist, enters a race where everything is wrapped up in a neat little bow. The antagonist gets arrested, and Jesse gets the girl. Oh, and they name drop every single high-end hypercar manufacturer in existence.
And his name was Toby, not Pinkman.
What?
There's no Jesse in this film.
I'm pretty sure the actor's name is Jesse Pinkman, you know, from Breaking Bad.
No, that's his character from Breaking Bad.
That's the character he plays.
Well, he's kind of typecast now. He is Jesse Pinkman.
The problem here is that there were other people that also played Jesse that were also in this film. It doesn't work.
Oh, well, whatever.
Anyways, are there movie facts besides multiple people who played Jesse were in this movie?
Sure, there is. The movie was released on March 16th, 2014, had an estimated budget of $66 million, and it made 17.8 of those million in the opening weekend, ended up grossing about $43 million in the U.S. and Canada, but pulled it out and got $203 million worldwide.
Was it the China market?
I don't know.
I would think it's a China market.
I would actually say maybe it was the United Arab Emirates.
The place that owns a lot of hypercars?
The people who actually know and drive hypercars live.
Why don't they just look out a window, though? That's cheap and free.
Because they actually care about the cars in this film.
Yeah.
They might actually be able to see and appreciate what these cars they're talking about, unlike people who will maybe see a Lotus if they're lucky.
I've seen a Lotus.
Yeah, it's a fancy looking car.
Yeah, it is a fancy looking car.
You would recognize a Lotus, but when are you gonna see a Lamborghini Elemento
in this film?
All right,
that was about it. I didn't actually know it was a real thing until this either. Watching this film introduced the Elemento to me. And the Koenigsegg Agora and
Agera.
Or Agera, yeah, that thing.
You see three of them in this movie.
Yeah. Speaking of the Koenigsegg Agaris, they are cars that cost roughly $4.5 to $4.8 million a piece. And given that the plot of this movie revolves around a race to get an extra 25% of a cut of the sale of a car for $2.7 million, and one of the Koenigsegg Agaras is destroyed in the first 20 to 30 minutes of the film, they're already running at a loss.
Maybe that's why the guy's business isn't doing very well. But besides
that, there are other things. The other entertaining thing is they have to drive from Mount Kisco, New York to San Francisco in 48 hours.
49.
49 hours, which you can do following the speed limit along the entire road. It only takes 45 hours or 43 hours following I-80 most of the way.
Oh.
Their detours to other cities could explain their need for excessive speeding in other places.
I'd assume you wouldn't want to swing by Detroit on your way to San Francisco on that course.
But it is a 100% doable drive following the speed limit the entire way.
Good thing they didn't hit any construction in Wyoming.
Yeah. Here we go.
Oh, they went a different route, though. They should have gone with I-80, because we know that they went south through Utah. They went through Monument Valley. That goes the northern path.
Mm-hmm. But they ended up going through the Bonneville Salt Flats, remember?
For the second bit.
For the second bit, which is definitely I-80. So, there you go. As an entertaining note, you could have done it and just followed the speed limit the whole way. They would have made it in time for the race. But they wouldn't have been in the race.
Oh, that's true. But maybe we should get into these plot holes.
I mean, if you want, because I did have one more.
Oh, and there's one more fact.
There is one more fact.
We'll let you get this fact out.
All right. So the final race in the movie is actually a replication of a level from Need for Speed 2.
Which Need for Speed 2?
Just Need for Speed 2.
Okay.
The second game.
Was that one Hot Pursuit?
No, it was just Need for Speed 2.
Okay.
It wasn't Hot Pursuit yet. There was an underground. It was just Need for Speed 2. But this was where they have the race along the coast, ending at the lighthouse, and this game was where they introduced the knockout challenge, where if you were in last place, you were removed from the race. Hence why there is quite such excessive destruction, probably, in this film, because one of the cars is knocked out, even though it doesn't really work if you're trying to actually win things in this race. But we'll get to that.
All right, then. So, we're getting our plot holes today from reddit.com. And also, we have our own list.
I have a clipboard, guys.
We have a clipboard of
all official.
Our thoughts while we were watching this film. All right, guys, here we go. First off, there's not much explanation as to why Dino and Toby didn't like each other.
That's true. There was not.
From what I gathered, it had something to do with a girl, an IndyCar racing career, and a dead father.
I'll be honest, that was more than I picked up on their relationship, on why they had beef.
See, I picked up the whole, they were going for the same girl, and she chose Dino, whatever. Maybe he did it in an underhanded way, but
no, because like they explained that because he got thrown in jail, and so Dino comforted her at the funeral of her brother, and he was a very nice guy.
I thought they were already dating before then, though.
Yeah, they were already dating before that because Dino pulls in to the first car race with Anita at the beginning. And there's some beef there.
There's some tension.
Yeah.
So that's how they kind of set up their rivalry. They wanted to go for the same girl, and she chose Dino.
So I don't consider this a plot hole, though.
Like, you're able
because to... in movie, there's a reason they don't like each other, and it's because of the death of Pete.
Well, they didn't like each other before then.
Yeah, well, they just kind of...
It was more like not a hostile working relationship, but just more of a, I don't like you, you don't like me, but we'll just, we can work together.
Yeah. And it goes back to, they grew up together. One left the town, the other didn't. Probably general slight antagonism, though they might have been friendlier when they were younger. Yeah, this sort of thing happens. I don't think it's too important, though, for the plot, to be honest, what the specifics are.
Like, they kind of set it up that he becomes the actual antagonist when, during their Koenigsegg race, he crashes into his friend, like, and doesn't turn around to go help him. That sets him up as the antagonist. You knew that they didn't like each other, but it wasn't, like, he wasn't the antagonist.
Yeah, it wasn't antagonistic until that moment.
So, and that's when, okay, we don't like this guy, according to the movie, because he's not a good person. And that's all you need to know, really.
Also, generally, because he's a liar. Just, he lies all the time. Like, all the time. He's not even very good at it, because he doesn't, like, communicate with people about what lies are going to happen. Just a compulsive liar. Probably a narcissist.
Oh, well, of course.
So I guess they don't like each other because one's kind of a terrible person. That seems good enough to me.
Okay.
All right, then. So when the cars are traveling at max velocities, why are the ambient engine revs still accelerating? It's like playing Grand Theft Auto while you tootle along at high speed while changing gear 40 times.
How do we know they're at top speed?
I think they only ever hit top speed once in this film. And that was on a track trying to hit a top speed. The rest of the time they're doing tight turns and having to constantly accelerate and decelerate.
Yeah, this is street racing. This isn't Indianapolis 500 laps in a wide circle.
And even then you're still not... You're not flat out the entire time. You have to pass people, which means you have to change your gears and, you know, apply some braking or whatever. You're very rarely going full tilt.
Because you just don't often have the opportunity. And any time that they're going full tilt and thus at top speed is not a time we'd be shown because it's not a time where anything important is happening. Because if you're going top speed, you have nothing to worry about.
All right. So then, Toby just happens to borrow the Mustang his crew and him rebuilt with no montage. And they sold it for $2.7 million. But no one bats an eyelid to the fact that the guy who bought it was Irish and the girl who worked for him was British. Logically thinking... That car would have been in Britain and Ireland, not the States, because sure, the guy was Irish, but he lived in the States. Why does he employ a British girl to do his car hunting on American cars?
Because he's from Ireland and he lives in the States, and he hired her to come with him and be his assistant. And so she's with him in the States.
Maybe he also hires her to... kind of get the seller's defenses down. Like, oh, she doesn't know what she's going to talk about, but she, well, it's explained in the movie that she actually knows a lot about cars and she's a big fan of driving cars. She kind of just takes advantage of the their predispositions or their prejudices.
Well, I think, yeah, she takes advantage of their prejudices. I mean, she does a good job. I also don't get this. Maybe she lives in the U.S. already anyways, and he just hires her.
Yeah.
It's called immigration. It happens, people.
Or it's a work visa, even.
Yeah. I mean, if he wanted the Mustang in Europe. I mean, that kind of would make sense because he could already has access to all the European hypercars if he's living in Europe, but then he'd also want to be mainland.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess, yeah, it's just a weird question.
I think it's just on the assumption that apparently you can't be in America and be from another country, which makes zero sense.
So this connects to the previous statement. The Mustang is totally wrecked and destroyed, never to be seen again. What's going on with the Irish guy? Surely he would care about this. Does he contact Toby and say, hey, where's my car or $2.7 million or any of the prize money?
No. He reports it stolen, like, early on, because Toby, our ex-con, is reported by the cops to be wanted for breaking parole and Grand Theft Auto. Now, you might assume this was from Grand Theft Auto from the cars that he stole already, but that's for the breaking parole. He was already on parole for. They already charged him with those crimes. So he has to have stolen a new car. The only car he is driving is the Mustang that he got from our Irishman. And so the Irishman got to report it as stolen and gets to collect the insurance money.
Yeah, and if he gets the car back, he'll have the money set aside. So and he could say, oh, I got my car back. I'll give you guys the money. Like, call up the insurance and say, this got returned. It's okay. Can I just have the money for repairs?
But it also gives him the advantage of getting to distance himself from whatever his car is being used for so that he doesn't have to be held liable for loaning it to this guy.
Who's going to drive like a maniac across the country at higher than a speed limit.
And participate in underground races.
All right, well, so the next point on this Reddit list ties into the first two. So the Irish guy lends Toby his Mustang to win the race against the other hypercars. On the condition stipulated by Toby that he could have half of the cars he wins. Yet at the end, the only car is the Koenigsegg Agera, which is impounded due to being a murder weapon. So the Irish guy loses his Mustang, $2.7 million, and he doesn't get any of the other rewards. If I were that guy, I'd be pissed.
You're right. You'd probably be pissed. I don't see a plot hole here. It was a bad deal.
He definitely got his $2.7 million, though. That car was stolen and destroyed.
Think he insured it for more than it was worth?
Probably. It's a collector's piece.
It's true. It was a collector's piece.
So
at very least, he got the cash back. And his interest in the car seemed to be purely...
like historical.
Historical, not any sort of personal attachment. Very detached to it.
And he was impressed that it went fast.
He probably didn't even drive it all that much.
Well, he probably has a lot of cars that he doesn't drive very often.
You take it to the track. That is all you do. It's not, you're not going to put your groceries in there.
Oh, no. You don't take this on down to the pub?
I mean, you could, but someone's going to nick your tires.
It sits in the car garage.
A well-lit. It'll probably sit as a museum piece. Like, imagine that scene from Iron Man where it just shows all his cars lined up in a row. It's going to be like that with all his other very expensive cars that he gets to look at.
Yeah.
And drive occasionally when he wants. When he thinks, you know what? I want a track day. Call up a trailer. Let's load this car on and then I can go drive it around for a few hours.
Then put it back on. Have the mechanic give it a once over.
Maybe you would even rent it out to museums and just have them pay you as well. So it then becomes an asset.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So, last one. Well, last one for these.
Second to last one.
Why, when traveling at top speeds, do any of the hypercars not just simply blow off the cop cars in the final race? Every one of those cars has a top speed of 200 plus miles an hour, and cop cars, as stated in the movie, top out at 130.
Well, how often do they get to top speed?
Not a whole lot on that road.
Yeah, there's all sorts of obstacles. The roads twist and turns. There's pedestrians. There's cops coming in at different points in the race. I mean, at the end, Toby does pull away from the cops when it's just him and it's a straightaway to the final point. He does leave them in the dust. But usually, I mean, they're in the race on these narrow roads, trying to not run into each other, not run into the trees on either side of the road.
Wait, they're trying not to run into each other? Because it happens a lot in the last race.
Yeah, but it turns out that the cars were supposed to be the prize, Eric.
So any car that you destroy on your chance to victory is less of a victory.
Oh, gosh, what's that?
It's kind of like in Cutthroat Kitchen.
No, there's an actual term, but I can't remember what it is. It's a... It's not Carthaginian victory or whatever. It's like...
A Pyrrhic victory?
A Pyrrhic victory, where it's... You won, but at what cost?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you destroy every other car in that race and then win, your only prize is the car you already had.
And the repair bill.
And the repair. And several piles of wreckage.
Several piles of wreckage that are now yours.
Congratulations.
Yay. This twisted metal lump is yours. Come pay for it to be cleaned up off the road.
Now, it's been a while since I watched this movie. All the other drivers were actually actively avoiding the other ones. It was just the Dino guy, whatever. He was the one who was actually crashing into cars, right?
Well, that and the cops.
Yeah, the cops were kind of a problem.
Yep.
They were homicidal.
We'll get into that. It's on the list.
And let's see. Is it my turn or is it John's?
It'll be mine. Perfect. All right. So this is the final last one on Reddit as posted and described in Reddit, that this is the final last one after several other last ones. The Mustang reportedly tops out at 234 miles per hour. The slowest car on the final line of the other cars in the race is the Celine S7, which tops out at 235. So how was Toby going to win the race in that car anyways? Even if the Mustang was faster, it's not built for cornering. The others are... bar the Bugatti. And for instance, the Sesto Elemento probably would have won because it has high speed and can hit the 90 degree corner at 90 miles per hour.
So he's saying that the Mustang wasn't built for cornering, but...
Well, yep, he's saying that the Mustang wasn't built for cornering.
Yeah, so how was...
every other car would have outperformed
it. I just forgot the main character's name. I was going to call him Jesse Pinkman, but
Toby. How was Toby going to win the race with an inferior car?
Well, Toby rebuilt the car. He's like, okay, well, this is how do we think that Shelby would have built this car? Maybe he wanted it to be a cornering car, so you can, instead of having the standard Mustang suspension, which is built for a straight line, he can put a more sportsy suspension in, so it can take the corners.
I'm going to posit that they were, in fact, going to fix that cornering problem, as there is the scene in wherever they're picking up...
Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit.
In Detroit.
And they go out and park the car and rev it outside of an office building and cause a lot of problems and tell the guy to come to the window and watch the car as it pulls away and goes around a corner. And they point out that it has a lot of issues going around it, and that he's going to need to fix it. They were going to tune the car to deal with the corners.
I'm also going to throw out, I don't think Toby was originally planning on winning the race.
Okay.
I think when he hatched the plan and borrowed the Mustang, his goal was not to win the race, but to drive Dino off the road and kill him.
Okay. But how was he going to catch Dino in the slower car?
It was just... You just needed to get close enough early on. Would take advantage of... he just needs a better acceleration, really. Because he just needs to be able to close the distance fast, force him off the road.
And he knows that he's a better driver than Dino. He was probably counting on his skill to close the speed gap.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I think what the plan was. The plan was never to win for Toby at the beginning. He's like, yeah, I'll borrow this. He just made the offer to the guy, planning on not actually having to pay it.
Okay, a promise in bad faith.
Yes.
All right.
And then he changed his mind later because, you know, well, love and...
when the Red Koenigsegg comes back into play.
Yeah, when he's like, wait, I can just prove that he's the bad guy?
Well, speaking of that, let's go into the plot holes on my list. So let's go into that because it's on my list. And since we're out of the plot holes on Reddit, we'll cover mine.
Richard's list of plot holes.
There were some problems with the film, and one of them was, you know, he gets that Red Koenigsegg back, and it's got the paint on there, and he wants to, you know, prove that he's innocent and get Dino, and he could just 100% call the cops and go, hey, here's the car that was used as the murder weapon, this is it, get him arrested. And Dino never even gets to be in the race. He's just arrested. His car is impounded for murder. They pull. Just his whole life gets ruined right there. Victory achieved. Why does Toby even go for the race? It no longer has any stakes for him.
This is an excellent question. I can see Eric thinking through this.
Okay, so my question is, how does he give the evidence to the police that the Red Koenigsegg was the murder weapon? It was...
The paint scrape.
It was obtained in bad faith, though. Like, it's not like the police can go get a warrant
for it. Oh, that is true. Because if the police...
He can have...
acquire evidence through an improper channel. But they can still go through the process.
They can go through the process, and they can get permission from Dino's wife, who has now flipped on Dino.
Because I think they're fiancés. I don't think they were actually...
Yeah, it was fiancé.
Okay, fiancé.
We'll say future wife.
Future wife. He had given her a ring, a very fancy one. She had access to his business stuff, and can have turned state's evidence the same way Toby found the car.
I think he wanted to not just beat Dino. He wanted to grind Dino into the ground. And showing up to the race with the supercar that he used to kill Pete and then beating him with it in the race is as big of a blow you could do to someone as possible. Like, I beat you in the race. You didn't even get to win. And now you get to go to jail.
I'm going to piggyback off that, too. It's kind of like a promise to Pete, his friend who died. It's like he never completed the race where Pete died. It's sort of a closing the chapter on his friendship.
He's like, I was going to beat you then. I'll beat you now.
Exactly.
Now pay me that.
Now give me that wreckage.
Give me the $2 million that you owe us.
Okay.
Oh, did you just come up with a new plot hole?
No.
Oh.
I'm just making sure that I cover all of them.
Okay. I saw you pull out your clipboard and start writing. It's like, what are you writing down?
Just making notes, Eric.
Well, now I have this plot hole.
you wouldn't filled my trap card. Bonus plot hole. I'd say with the police would have a pretty good case because they knew that there was a third car reported.
They did not know. They only knew of two.
Well, they knew that it was reported because there were people that said that there were three. He said that there were three, but they could never find it.
I thought they said in the movie that he was the only one who was saying three. Everyone else was saying two.
All the witnesses said there were three. They're just like, where's the third one? We don't know. They know the color of the one that was destroyed. They can do the paint chip.
Toby's one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's a lot of fun stuff.
Plus, there's actual, for some reason, digital evidence about Dino owning that Koenigsegg or keeping it.
Yeah. Like, even though it's his uncle's. I know it's like not technically not supposed to be in the United States, so there's probably not a huge paper trail. It was probably illegally imported or something. I don't know. Not enough taxes paid. The IRS is going to get them.
And that's really how they were planning on what was going to get him was tax evasion.
Tax evasion. It's always what they get you with.
Anyways.
What's your next one on the clipboard of what was I watching?
All right. So, in the very first couple minutes of the race, there's a race with a $5,000 pot for the winner. And yet it has some serious technology going on behind it. There's some very fancy screens that people are watching. There's very interesting readouts. It's a very high profile.
Oh, and a Cessna in the air.
Where is the money coming from for these underground races? Because, like, he is arguably, as stated in the film, running a successful and still the best car modification shop. I have had to fix cars. I know what car modifications cost. They can definitely get more than $5,000 off of one vehicle.
Maybe it's a subsidiary of that podcaster, that eccentric podcaster. He just kind of he has his own race, the De Leon.
Oh, we'll talk about the eccentric podcaster. Don't think he's off the list.
He just kind of has like some seed funds for.
How come he is funding stuff in the middle of Mount Kisco, New York?
Look, Mount Kisco, New York has huge car culture. If it wasn't implied by the fact that they're watching movies on the big screen that have car chases.
Oh, and playing car video games, too.
Oh,
you mean the movie Bullet?
And yeah, and everyone's got like cool cars and fancy cars, and they're just hanging out at a car park on a Saturday night, ready for this race. And they just don't tell the homeless guy.
Mm-hmm.
They're just so inconsiderate.
But again, somebody's paying for fuel for a Cessna. Somebody had, like, there's an airfield that had a Cessna fly.
Look, there's betting being run.
Maybe the $5,000 pot was
just... But it's
just
only a $5,000 pot. If this is a big underground thing...
Or minus expenses, maybe they pay for the Cessna fuel out of that pot. Maybe it was actually $10,000.
The people pay in... The total amount in is greater, and they just give $5,000 because this is a small race, and it's mostly just for fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you get in an accident on Saturday night racing, that's your own fault for not being in the race and being on the road.
Should have been a better driver.
Everyone knows it's Saturday night when the race happens. Mm-hmm. Notice that there's no cops. The streets are mostly empty.
It's true.
Everyone's at car park watching the race on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
Eating popcorn.
How else are those like drive-in theaters supposed to?
Having a cheeseburger.
Yeah, they make a big party out of
and
it.
And a shake. It's the most American small town ever.
Not a single one of them was playing baseball, John.
They were playing baseball in baseball field that night also. You can either go to car park or baseball park. You can't go to both parks.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, no, baseball happens during the day. That's why.
They do have lights for baseball, though.
Yeah, but is baseball it really games, that great?
No, it's baseball. It's not great at all.
It's the great American pastime.
No, I'm pretty sure that's sitting in park or in traffic.
They definitely weren't doing that either at car park.
So, I mean, it's not American at all. Maybe that's how they were pandering to foreign markets.
So, yeah, it's just a small pot for a small race.
Yeah, small pot for a small race with excessive budget.
They have enough people. They're charging them like $10 a piece. And then popcorn is way overpriced. I mean, you got to get the 20 pound. It's like $20 for a bucket of popcorn. It costs them like $2 to make the popcorn. And then they load it up with salt. So you have to get a drink too. There's no drinking fountains in car park.
But listen, they can upgrade you to the large for a dollar more.
Yeah, they'll upgrade to the large for a dollar more, and they'll fill it up again once. You know, but that's too much popcorn anyways. There's no way you're eating all that popcorn twice. So you think it's a good deal, but it's not a good deal. Then you have to buy the drinks. Really, they make all their money off of the...
Concessions.
I see. Underground Racing concessions. Okay.
Would you give us that concession, Richard?
I will concede the point.
At car park.
All right. Then let's just talk about part of the... We'll continue with some expenses here. And let's cover, like, how they are paying for the fuel for this Cessna in the cross-country race, where he is just hopping from place to place and flying this Cessna. When he's the garage that they were working at and was their business is currently in foreclosure. Main character had to borrow the car. He doesn't have a job.
You pay for fuel with credit cards. A massive credit card debt.
All right. They are masters of bad decisions. I will accept financial mismanagement.
A bigger problem I have with the Cessna is I think Cessnas only go like 90 miles an hour.
And we've already shown that you can make it across the U.S. at speed limits at like 60 miles per hour in less time than the 59.
But not
the Cessna can also take shorter distances.
How's it supposed to keep track of police, though? Shouldn't it stay on the road? Or shouldn't it at least follow the road looking out for cops?
If it's above, it can take a more direct route and still see the road.
Yeah. Like, that was one of our early questions.
Oh,
was the range of a Cessna? Can you fly the Cessna to Detroit?
A Cessna top speed is 188 miles an hour. So,
yep.
That plot hole was solved.
It wasn't a plot hole to begin with.
I don't think the internet knows that, so it was a plot hole. Yep, it was solved. We did it, guys.
We're heroes.
We did it, Reddit.
Yeah, that was one of the things that we were thinking of when we were watching it, was what kind of range does that Cessna have? And in looking at it and the various models of Cessna, yeah, it definitely could have. There's only two models of Cessna that couldn't have flown from New York to Detroit.
And those are like single-seaters, right? Like the small, tiny ones.
Yeah, there's...
I mean, Cessna's still a small plane in general, but...
Yeah, that one was... The one they were looking at that he was flying was like a four-seater. But that usually has a range of about 1,000 miles.
Now, as for where the money comes from, one, we already talked about the concessions.
Yeah, but this isn't the racers, or this isn't the races for the underground racing. This is these four guys paying for the fuel for a Cessna.
It's not all those four guys. It's this guy's rich dad.
So
who's rich dad?
Liar ones. Maverick. Champ.
That's how he got so far in the military. He pulled strings.
That's what I'm saying, is that this will come out, is that because we know he served in the military. But everyone was giving him trouble because they know he's from rich blood. And so I'm going to say his dad owns an aeronautical engineering firm that does a lot of work for military. And he decided he'd serve in the military. And he just has money.
So I'm going to go back to the credit card thing. I think they're just putting it on the company credit card. And they're going to just mark it as a expense.
Oh yeah,
because fuel is an expense. Sure, it's the wrong type of fuel, but all you really do, like, so back in the day, I actually flew on a small plane with my friend's family when we went down to Lake Powell, which made, you know, an hour and a half trip, which was really nice. But on the way back, they stopped at the fuel tank and just filled it up. There was no attendants. You just kind of rolled up like a car and then charged it to your credit card. So there's at least there might be now. I'm not 100% sure, but there's no one checking it. And that's what I'm going to assume.
All right. So now we know that there's no one really checking. So until the credit card company decides to decline it,
And if they're doing their company credit card, which has to buy extremely expensive parts, the credit limit's probably fairly high.
And they are planning on making their money back by selling the prize vehicles.
And you're talking about the company is in foreclosure, but that's just the building. It's not the actual company.
Yeah, the company is defunct. Everyone left. There are no employees.
Perfect. There's less expenses. That means they can... the credit card.
I'm pretty and besides, certain that credit line was closed by the credit company.
Besides, they might have $2 million coming in at any point as soon as Dino decides to actually pay him for the one bet for the Mustang.
Except he didn't have to pay. He didn't win the race. He got nothing.
I think they have like 5 credit cards. I mean, that's how many like flyers I get every day in the mail. Like, hey, open up a new credit card limit or line.
Yeah, there's a lot about our pilot we don't actually know. So we can make up whatever we want. He just has to have access to money in some method.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Maybe he runs his own business. Maybe he does a crop dusting.
Ah, we're going the Independence Day route.
Yeah. Same kind of character, really. I mean, the only difference is we know one claims that he was abducted by aliens.
Sure.
And I bet if Lawyer One gets drunk enough, he'll explain about the time he was abducted by aliens. He just doesn't like to talk about it. All right, what's up next?
All right. So, then we have... our main character, Toby, and he has gotten himself a very, very nice tattoo.
Oh yeah,
of Pete with the Pete's little numbers on it. And he went to prison, and that was not a prison tattoo.
They've gotten really good in the last 20 years.
I think he just got it like after prison or right before prison.
Well, I don't think he got it right before prison because he would be being held.
Yeah, he was put straight in custody. So yeah, it was right out of prison when he got that tattoo.
And it looked pretty fresh too. Like,
except he had to, like, he got picked up by his towing company friend.
It's like
with their rig truck.
He got picked up
and then was told that he had a couple of hours to find out whether or not he had the Mustang that he then had to take across country.
I guess that is true. As more we're going off the fact that the tattoo had healed.
Yeah. That was not a fresh tattoo.
What if he got that as a bromance tattoo?
I mean, the kid did look up to him.
So he got Pete and Pete's number, and Pete had Toby's number.
Okay.
And then they put their hands together, and they're like, oh, yeah. And then they gave each other a bro high five.
Okay. All right, I'll accept it.
This is actually why Dino doesn't like them.
Because he was promised a bro tattoo, and he never got one?
He got a bro tattoo.
But they didn't.
He has Toby's name on his. He thought that Pete was going to get Dino's name. He thought they were going to be like a three-way thing going on, like the circle friend. But then he got left out. But he still had the tattoo.
Okay. All right. And you know, I'll take that as a better grounds for their destroyed relationship too. All right. Then we hit the, let's talk about the last race for a second. During the
just
last
just one second.
Just 1 second. Real quick, they're being chased by police in their hypercars, and then we get a police officer. You know, police officers who are designed to deal with traffic stops and high-speed chases, who decides to use his nightstick to rev the car and drive the car to ram one of the hypercars instead of using like spike strip, a roadblock, you know, any of these standard police traffic violation procedures.
listen, he was just giving the license to kill. He was gonna take advantage of that.
Turns out they don't actually have that in this particular situation, as they were not directly threatening him.
The operator said over the radio, or the radio, not the radiator, the radio, the operator said over the radio, use whatever force you deem necessary. Use lethal force.
Now, this De Leon, or the monarch who runs the De Leon, he seems to have a lot of pull and funds. So I think he's actually some sort
from
of...
From the concession sales.
No, he doesn't do concession sales. Concession sales is how the small town underground circus works. This is the big race, which involves hypercars. This is not cheap.
This is like Raid Shadow Legends money.
Yeah. he runs his podcast. He's getting Raid Shadow Legends money.
Maybe NordVPN as well.
Yeah, he's rocking every...
Are we getting paid for those, by the way?
We are not.
Can we message them and be like, hey, we mentioned your ad in our podcast.
Do not want to be sullied by their sponsorships.
What about Raycons?
I don't know if they're good or not. I've heard they're bad.
We could do MeUndies.
Do they really pay for anything?
I don't know.
All I'm saying is, I think he was actually involved in larger dealings. I'm saying he's like a crime lord. And he paid off all the cops.
Okay.
And in fact, I'm going to say half of these guys weren't even really police officers. I'd say they were stuntmen and vehicles made for stunts.
Well, yeah, they weren't police officers. They were sheriff's deputies.
He deputized.
Can you still do that, by the way? Like, can a sheriff come up to you and be like, you're now my deputy?
No, I don't think so.
And I thought this was my America.
Well, that was in an older America where...
Listen, John, we still have laws on the books about how you have to have a watering trough for your horse in Texas.
That's like, because you need to have a watering trough for your horse in Texas. If you're in Texas and you have a horse, you got to give that horse water.
In 2015?
Horses still exist, Eric.
Nah. I don't know. I know that was one of those like weird laws that are still kind of in effect. Like, okay, how about one of the weird Utah laws? I can't mail a building through the post office.
That's because somebody mailed a building through the post office and they don't want it to happen again.
Taking away my rights.
He literally mailed brick by brick, each with a stamp on it.
And so he paid the postage. You know, what are they complaining about?
They're complaining about having to handle a house brick by brick through the mail.
I mean, ultimately, that's going to happen. Like, if you take the total weight of packages, you're eventually going to ship a house.
It's not the same. You're not in this business, I'll tell you. It's not the same.
I got out.
But, where were we even?
Talking about whether or not people could be deputized.
Much better than the movie.
And deputize me. They were volunteers. All right, we'll settle on this. They volunteered.
They're supposed to keep like the,
he's a crime lord who's paying off people. Nothing has to be legal at this point. He's already breaking the law in a thousand ways. He's organizing underground street races
and
advertising it. He has no shame. He has no limits. He paid off stuntmen to pretend to be police officers to have an incredibly exciting race. And, he's running bets, like in The Amazing Race. Or is it Rat Race? Rat Race.
Oh, yeah. That one.
He's just like that guy. That's what's going on.
All right, Richard. You gave a knowing...
Can you still be deputized by a sheriff?
Yes. In a notable instance in this, most recent that I can find is 1994... in Hinsdale County, Colorado, where a bunch of violent bank robbers fled from Mineral County into Hinsdale County, where at the time there were a full 3 law enforcement officers for the entire town. They then summoned the power to do the posse comitatus, and deputized more than 100 citizens to then do house-to-house searches to find the bank robbers.
So it's very rare, at but least
it,
now.
It is rare, but it is...
It is still... It's still a power that the sheriff department holds.
Yes.
See, we just consider an older thing because in the small towns, you didn't have as many police officers. And
sheriffs are countywide, too. It's...
Yeah.
There.
So if you needed a sudden influx of manpower, you just deputized people you could trust.
Okay.
And it was an honor, and you got to wear a star. I don't know if that's true, though.
I think...
They'll give you a sticker at least, Eric.
Yes. Better get my crayons and coloring pad, too.
Are you satisfied with paid-off non-professionals?
I am satisfied with paid-off non-professionals. But let's jump from there to the Monarch. Let's talk about him. Because they make a big deal about how no one knows who he is. Except he runs a podcast. Like a nationwide podcast. And he live streams the whole thing, and everybody can see his face, and they talk about how he has a very specific history, how he once had a heart problem during the middle of a race. Like, there's a lot of specific details about this man. I don't believe his identity is a secret.
I thought he was a tech billionaire or whatever who kind of decided to do his own thing.
They talked about how he once dabbled in racing, even. It's one of the things they bring up about the Monarch when they're talking about how you can get into the De Leon.
See, but that's the question is, he's organizing an illegal street race. And he has his face on the internet. And he'll talk on the internet to pretty much anyone who calls in. So I'm saying is... What the point is
he gets random, like he live streams himself and like does live reaction videos to the footage that everybody's sending in about this ghost car in Detroit. And yet no one knows who the Monarch is.
Like, why is he not in jail already?
Maybe he's not in the US though. Like, the internet's a wonderful thing. Maybe he's actually in Canada or something.
Maybe he's at an airport.
Maybe he's using a VPN to hide his location.
Like NordVPN.
Like NordVPN.
Guys, we have to stop doing these until we get paid. Stop.
That was just a callback, really.
No, but like seriously, though, even if he's in another country, doesn't matter. People would still know who he is.
I thought they did, though. Like,
no, he's the Monarch, and no one knows who he is.
But it's his racing name. Like, he has a real name.
So
but they just call him the Monarch. They should
know that.
There's a conspiracy page. People have this big, long list of who they think the Monarch actually is. Meanwhile, he's off in Costa Rica, probably, or... I don't know. I could see him living in Mexico.
I thought I think the movie showed he was actually in L.A., but...
Okay. Well, so he's in L.A. instead of living in another country like he should if he was a...
So, to tie it back in, he probably has a really good VPN.
VPN's not going to help too much.
But that's the thing, is it doesn't matter if you bounce your stuff. If you're live streaming your face, people will know who you are.
And he has to leave his house... And go down and buy groceries in L.A.
Does he? Apparently,
he's eccentric.
Apparently the entire country pays attention to these races because everybody knows that the small town circuit, that Pete died and everyone cares for some reason.
Well, of course, it's an underdog story.
They've never heard of Pete before today.
But I bet on his podcast, he has like a news, like an underground racing news section. Like for all the little small, he's going to make the small people feel good about themselves because they're going to get their 5 seconds of fame on his podcast. And maybe like for a blip, he talks about Pete's death and.
Sure. But again.
And Toby has been going through and saying like, no, this is what's actually happening. So as long as he knows Toby's story. And he'd probably pay attention because it's like, it's a death in a Koenigsegg. He's a car guy, so he's going to at least pay attention to that.
Look, I think the true story here is the Monarch literally has 15 followers.
All of whom are in this movie?
All of whom are in the... Well, not all of them. There's like maybe... There's a half dozen more.
Mm-hmm. But then how does he fund these races? Because it's been happening a lot.
Well, if we notice, the prize is not something he, in fact, offers.
He just offers the opportunity to win a prize.
He offers the opportunity to win what the other people bring. So when you get in the race, you have to bring the your portion of the prize money. It doesn't cost him anything other than what he has to pay the stuntmen. And he doesn't usually do this because the last race de Leon was not nearly this destructive.
But he... All right.
Maybe he even has, like, event insurance. Like, you know, most, event operators need to have. He's maybe just lying a bit. Like, yes, I'm not doing illegal street racing.
It's a con. Popcorn con. He makes his money through supply lines to concessions.
You're right, John. It was a con.
So he does make his money through the concessions?
Yes. Indirectly. He supplies the concessions people.
And the advertisers.
And that's how he follows the street races. Because he's like, who's buying a lot of concession supplies but is not running a movie theater?
Maybe he's cornered the market. He bought a lot of popcorn futures.
Mm-hmm.
The stocks are always popping.
That's why you buy it.
And then he laughs. And his investors just kind of nod along.
But he makes them money, so he's eccentric.
No, I think he's a very niche operator, and so he's safe by his obscurity. Like, the Monarch is a legend in a very small circuit.
Okay.
Of people who own hypercars and will race them, and people who want to race hypercars. That is the people on his show.
I mean, we can really, like, relate to him because we're top of the field in plot hole podcasts.
Sure.
So, I mean, we have a lot in common with him except for the whole, you know.
Except for the whole, you know, putting a camera, live streaming her face everywhere, and trying to also maintain a mysterious identity.
Yeah, the identity part's kind of hard.
That's the problem here.
Half of his identity is a lie. He's never driven in a hypercar. He was never a racer.
Maybe Monarch's just a front, though. Maybe he's a fall guy and there's another...
That makes sense.
There's another, like, actual true Monarch or whatever.
The true Monarch who's sitting in a dark room has, like, a metal claw and is petting a cat.
Of course.
So, the claw.
The claw. The claw is the real Monarch. No.
I was waiting for it to be...
It's the Queen of England. That's why the races are always European hypercars.
So it's just an advertising campaign.
That's why the nickname is the Monarch. It's literally the Queen. The Monarch.
Doesn't Denmark have a Monarch?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, but they wouldn't want to race supercars in America to own the peasants.
Koenigsegg's Denmark. Is it? Denmark's not a... That's not a noun. It is a noun.
Denmark is a noun.
I was going to say adjective. It's not a
Danish.
Koenigsegg's a Danish car, right?
I thought it was German.
No, it is not German.
I thought it was German too, so. But it must be Danish.
Swedish.
No, they're basically the same.
No, they're not.
Both Denmark and Sweden are just offended.
I thought they hated each other anyways. Like the
And you just said they were the same place. Why do you think they're offended now?
It's like Austrians and Germans.
No, they are the same.
John, and I thought we had Eric as the racist guy.
We'll see. Good, Jonathan. Good.
Look, somehow Palpatine returned. Palpatine's the Monarch.
All right, well, I have to accept that one.
That is...
You wrote it in there.
Did you just write it in? Just
Palpatine is the monarch.
Somehow he returned.
Okay.
And now he's into car racing.
It's on the clipboard.
I mean, I did think of Return of the Jedi. I did think of Return of the Jedi during the race. Because they were, you know, racing through Californian forests. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, with the whining, I'm like, huh, takes me back. Where's my Ewok?
Yep.
Okay. Well, we're not done yet.
Oh, my.
Uh-oh. It keeps going.
It does.
This movie's not very good, guys.
So,
just FYI.
All right. So, as we stated before, the Mustang gets destroyed. The Mustang is pulling out from where they have just received their instructions to go and meet for the fancy race when it gets hit by a flatbed truck and tossed down the streets of San Francisco, or tossed up a street in San Francisco. That truck, in order to flip that car, had to be accelerating before their car had started moving. So unless our driver is suddenly Nicolas Cage from Next, then he shouldn't have known unless he has been like literally driving up and down that street all night and got lucky.
I'd accept that. I just like to see him circling the block. He's like, I'm going to get him this time.
I think they had a Cessna in the air.
But again,
I think he's been circling and he has a plan. He's like, all right.
So the flatbed truck,
they're going to go down the street. We know the flatbed truck driver's been paid off by Dino.
Well, he works for Dino.
Yeah. And so he's been circling. He gets note that they're moving. He's racing up. If he had missed him, he would have come back down the next one.
Well, so
he just got lucky on the first try. Sometimes you get that. Sometimes you get a hole in one. Sometimes you get a ram the car from the side violently just as they come around the corner. It's how life is, Richard.
Okay,
yeah, I don't think it's like that.
Also, Palpatine returned, and he's raising a new apprentice so the guy can see the future. And he wants to destroy all Mustangs. They're animals.
Okay, so here's how it really happens.
Here's how it really happened.
I'm ready for how it really happened.
I want to hear this too.
Dino's in the hotel. Actually, I am going to like legitimately try and solve this plot hole.
Yeah. Please do, because this did bother me.
Dino is in the hotel, sees Toby come up. It's like, oh crap, he's here. All right, that means the Mustang's here. Send a text to the guy. Hey, he's here. Hurry up. So that's when he starts accelerating. Maybe Dino sends a text like, okay, he's left the building now. You have probably about 30 seconds before he leaves. And so that's when he starts accelerating and then runs into the car.
See, and I'd accept that, except that both Toby and the girl sat and talked in the car for a bit before they left. And so there's still the random fact, like if they had just gotten in the car and drove away, sure, hey, they're leaving, start driving. But because they were sitting in the parking lot talking, there's no way to tell exactly when they're going to leave. So there's no way for that truck to have been accelerating before then.
Now, I will throw out that that truck has a lot more torque than you're giving it credit for.
Yeah, it's dealing with San Francisco streets.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is it has a lot more power and can accelerate faster than you think, especially with nothing on the bed.
But it's a diesel, though. They can't accelerate very fast.
And have you seen them? They can. The faster than you think. That's all that matters here is that there's a larger window for the acceleration.
Yeah, I'll give that it has a larger window for acceleration, but it has to accelerate fast enough to pick up and throw the Mustang.
That's actually more about a transference of power.
Yeah, it's mass, like differences of mass.
And it transferred it differences
of mass and it has to, but it has to do it at speed because you can't just tap it and then have it work. That thing had to be going really fast in order to toss that.
They weren't going that fast down the street, though.
No, they were pulling out of it. They were pulling sideways out of a parking lot. But you still have to completely redirect that car.
I'm saying there's a lot of factors here, and I'm giving it to the guy who was waiting and accelerating and had a go-ahead. In fact, maybe Dino was down the street watching and said, they're moving now, and he just revved. Dino could have been more hands-on.
Or that's, maybe it's even...
Dino was not hands-on.
Maybe it's another one of the his car company's workers.
He's like, all right, they're coming. They're coming now. They're leaving finally, and he hits the gas.
Or maybe his mechanic has his own henchman or sub-henchman.
I'll accept that one as closer.
So he said he has his own team that he sets up the trap.
Otherwise,
and also this is not just any ordinary flatbed. This has been built for high speed theft.
Or maybe it was actually built for like drag racing. People do that. Well, they'll turn their diesel trucks
Just for drag racing. I think it was also meant to be able to buck cars because it was not damaged from that crash.
That was point the next.
Yeah, so it's got a reinforced exterior somehow. Probably movie magic just sprayed right over there. They use the same stuff soccer players use. when they get injured in the World Cup, they just spray them down with that special stuff and they're fine. You use it on the truck. I think also Dino stole two of those, at least two of the Koenigseggs.
Well, they were impounded. The red one was moved.
Two were reported stolen at the beginning.
And they found them. One was the burning one and the cops were the...
What I'm saying is we know that Dino will steal vehicles. I'm betting this flatbed is part of how he steals vehicles. I mean, it's a flatbed. You load up the car and then drive off with it.
Okay.
And so it's been modified to be faster.
I thought the
and car, able the to blow through barricades.
So the Koenigseggs were owned by Dino's uncle. I think the uncle was just covering for Dino. And that's why he claimed them as stolen.
I just think that Dino was a thief.
Oh, well, yeah.
Like, remember, he's a liar.
He keeps saying his company is much better than it actually is. So
he says the company is better than it was. He lied about what the Mustang could do. He repeatedly lies. So you can't take anything he says as a truth. Like, he probably stole the Mustang.
I could see that.
And I think this guy helped him steal. And so this isn't just any flatbed.
So what you're telling me then, John, is that the flatbed truck is in fact the most heavily modified vehicle in this entire movie.
Yes, this is the most heavily modified vehicle in this movie.
All right. Modified flatbed.
This is a guy who's got a working modification. He did his mods to get his job done. Got to respect him, even if he's a criminal.
It's like the Moonshine Runners from the ye olden, well, not ye olden days, from the 1930s that turned into NASCAR. Like, they needed to get their moonshine out faster than the police cars, and they wanted to test which car was actually faster, and so it turned into NASCAR.
And then that's where things went from there.
All right. Well, that's my list of plot holes.
All right, so this movie is not good.
So would you rate it as worse than Mario Brothers?
No.
It's better than Mario Brothers.
This is just bad and normal bad.
It's so...
An unimpressive film. It's not actively bad.
So did you guys... For me personally, I don't want to say I hated the movie, but I was definitely... It almost felt like a dude bro movie. Like, we're going to drop all these hypercar manufacturer names just so you know that we're part of the cool crowd.
Yeah, kind of. There's just so much about this movie that's nonsensical from the point of view of storytelling or meeting base entertainment values. Like, they didn't care.
Like, for one example, that you have Pete and his vision at the very beginning of the movie. I'm sure, you know, it references the end of the movie, but you know what? It would have been really nice to actually remember what that prophecy was or that dream was, because I didn't remember it by the end of the movie.
Yeah, like, I didn't remember. The beginning's a mess. Like, the very beginning is so confusing. I'm like, who's the character that I actually care about?
Well, to me, it also seems like there's two beginnings of the movie. You had the street race beginning and then the after prison beginning, which...
Well, and then they have the whole bit of the monarch doing his monologue about how he owns the race and he gets to decide who comes in. And you thought, like, that maybe that was some kind of big important thing. And they're like, they keep referencing the race, but you would have figured out that the race was big and important without ever hearing of any of his monologue at the beginning. And they keep cutting away to it in the middle of talking about everything else. It was just, it wasn't a good choice.
Yeah. And like you said, it takes too long to get to the inciting incident, which is the street race that kills Pete.
So if I were to rewrite this movie, I probably would have started off with Toby in prison, maybe have the beginning act him like, the race that causes him to go to prison, then just slowly piece together, like, okay, who's Dino?
Me and John did a very heavy rewrite.
Well, let's hear it. Pitch this movie.
All right, so we would have started in medias res in the first race. Toby's not in this race. In fact, Toby doesn't race Dino until the final race. So you never actually know if Toby can beat Dino. Dino is actually a good racer in this version. This movie, he's not a good racer.
Yeah, and you would have had, it would have been the first race there. It would have had Pete versus Dino, and Dino would win. And then you would have a bit where, then you would go to the later race where they're like, oh, I'll race you. And Pete wants to get back at him. I can win this race. And does something stupid and ends up dead. And then we don't have to deal with this whole, like, Konezeg murder weapon nonsense thing there. It is purely a revenge-driven story where he actually has stakes in this race now instead of just being there to finish it, I guess.
Also, we would have raced the Mustang in the final race.
Yeah, the car that they were building up for as, like, I don't want to say a Millennium Falcon or, like...
But it was the showpiece for the film. And they would have actually stolen it from the Irish guy.
They would have stolen it.
The assistant would have been trying to stop them or been in the car. And that's where we pick her up.
There would have been a consistent face of law enforcement. Because law enforcement is a force in Need for Speed as it is. It needs to be a character in some way. And so there probably would have been a U.S. Marshal, FBI agent, someone investigating, like, these hypercars thefts and street crimes that are happening across the U.S. who's trying to track them down.
So I'm going to add to that. I think the police car should have been another Mustang as a sort of dichotomy, because some of the state police troopers, they'll actually use Mustangs if they need to catch really fast criminals. So we'll have this. Let's have this police officer. He can mention offhandedly, like, someone says that doesn't look standard. It's like, no, but I need to catch non-standard people.
Yeah, or you just introduce him early on, talking to Toby for some reason, kind of bonding with him, but he doesn't like Toby, doesn't trust Toby, and so he's gonna get him now. Chases him all the way across, and then That way, at the end, when everything's said and done, the police officer can be like, okay, I see what's going on here. Let's arrest the real bad guy. And then you can come give a report. And then we're still going to have to charge you for the reckless endangerment.
The 315 traffic violations across
every state.
Yeah, across 16 states.
But you helped break apart this hyper car ring. Like, theft ring. The Monarch would have been a mystery.
You could have 100% done without the video live stream, done it solely as voices, and then had him just kind of be there talking so that the audience can go, oh, this guy's the Monarch.
But none of the characters will know who the Monarch is.
And the crew would have had more important roles for most of the movie. Because, like, Liar One had the single greatest character arc out of anyone in this entire film. And the other characters could have been interesting, but were either completely ignored outside of their ability to drive a tanker truck.
Oh, and walk around naked. Don't forget that.
Oh, see, no, he got to walk around naked and be on top of the tanker truck. He got two things. And he got to watch the race at the end. Three things. Tanker truck guy.
He quote unquote fixed the drift or the sag or whatever.
That didn't matter in the end?
No.
Yeah. It's he could have been more important that way. The guy who drives the tanker truck could have been more important. Like, if they were stealing it, he could have, like, it could have been a tow truck. And that's how they could have stolen it. He could have known where the Mustang was. You could have made all of the members of the crew more important.
So just to go back on that.
Better characterization.
So there's one point where they're waiting for the Mustang to show up. So they're playing video games, and they happen to be playing a car video game. Which just, for me personally, it's like, okay, everything about their personality is cars. There's nothing else.
Nothing outside of cars, except for Liar One.
Except for Liar One. Like, okay, so this
cars and planes. He likes planes. He flies planes. He flies helicopters. He flew an Apache once.
So yeah, like change the video game they're even playing. Like this,
they movie, could have been playing Call of Duty.
Yeah, this is done by EA. Call of Duty is an EA game. That's more advertising for different properties for them. So I don't see why not. But they're car guys. They like cars. Cars are their thing.
I mean, the walking around naked so he wouldn't return to his job would make more sense if we'd known that that was a struggle at any point.
If we had learned that he cared about balancing the job that he hates with doing this car stuff that he loves.
What was his actual job in his big boy job?
He wore business clothes and did business things. Business, business, business.
Is it working?
Yes. That's as far as we get. So what he does, it's in Detroit. I would say that means he works at a car company, except for they don't work in Detroit anymore. So we don't know what he was doing.
So what I would have done for him, he runs the books at the failing, or he does like finances for the garage.
And he runs the concession stand?
Yes. And so,
he's the accountant.
Yeah, he's the accountant. And it kind of makes when he's talking to that lady in the elevator, like, where does she work? She works in accounting. Soul draining, isn't it? And she's like, yes. It's like, okay, he's speaking from experience that, okay, I'm doing the books here. I don't think I'd want to work for a big company or whatever. 2 years later, he's working for a big company, and it has to show what he has to go through what he had to do to survive.
And see, I would have also used his ability to diagnose the problems of cars on site as something that they use when they are racing later, when he can look at another car and go, hey, it seems to have this kind of problem, do this.
Oh, also other improvement, the races need to be better. The races in this were not very good. And I think part of it is a race is a set piece, and part of a set piece is staging. Do you know what the races look like before they race? No, you don't know what problems they're going to run into.
I mean, I think they show the outline of the race, like the start and end points, kind of like a video game map.
Video game map actually takes you usually over most of the race while it's loading, and you can actually look at the shape of the map.
And usually has a mini map for you.
So what I'm saying is there's no staging. You don't know what's the dangerous point, where's the straightaways, where's an opportunity. Nothing's prepped in that way beforehand. No one says like, "Okay, right, they're coming on the straightaway." There's a train coming now.
They're doing spy car chase instead of a race. And in the spy car chase, you have the sudden changes and all of these things, but it's not something you're trying to establish as tension. In the spy car chase, it's a quick moment of high action thrill.
So is this more like the Jason Bourne car chases or whatever?
Yeah, it's closer to the Jason Bourne stuff than it is
a race.
And that's really the problem. Like, you can go to Star Wars Episode One, the pod race. They do a full lap before things start going wrong, so that you, as the audience, know what everything is,
and you know the sequence of locations and what's going on there. You know, okay, at this point, there's going to be Tusken Raiders taking shots. This is a narrow canyon. This is a cave. This is the open straightaway before the end.
And you can use all of those things as the audience so that they know, okay, this is something's going to happen, and they can get invested in it, where this one, they're cheap, quick changes. There's no attachment to anything. You don't know whether or not you should be excited or not.
I mean, the best moment they do have, though, is, I mean, you do see that cop get ready to push the cop car into the road with his nightstick.
Yeah, you do.
And you're expecting, oh, this is going to be a problem now.
The rest of the time, there's not a whole lot of warning for anything.
Like, with the homeless guy pushing the cart, they probably should have advertised that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe just show him, like, on the side of the thing.
You just see him walking along.
Do a wide shot. Even just do a long wide shot of the cars coming down, and you can have the scene where they're coming up to an intersection, and in front of the buildings where the audience can see it, but the drivers can't, is a homeless guy pushing the shopping cart. And so the audience can go, oh no. Oh no.
So I was just looking up what the director has done for this movie. He had directed one movie before Need for Speed.
What did he direct before Need for Speed?
Act of Valor. And I've never heard of it. Continue to cite Face ID. An elite team of Navy SEALs embark on a covert mission to recover a kidnapped CIA agent.
And then they fight the Predator?
Hopefully. It is rated about the same as Need for Speed.
Did the CIA agent turns out to be the Predator.
So I'm wondering if maybe it's also due to inexperience as a director.
And it certainly could be. But there's a lot of things that you can change, because it's trying to be a couple of different styles of movie.
Yeah, it's part racing movie, part
redemption with the prison and whatnot,
like pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it's the cross-country pursuit, like Smokey and the Bandit,
but there was no
Blues Brothers or Fugitive,
but there was no one chasing them.
Like, case in point, with the police force being a character, there isn't a main character for the face of the police in the Blues Brothers. But you knew who the Illinois County law enforcement was.
Yeah, they destroyed like 1,000 of their cars.
Yeah, but they were a presence and a constant threat throughout it, rather than just showing up so that we could do an American Graffiti reference, but not do it as well. Also, it was on my clipboard, but it's not a plot hole. We're docking this movie points for citing better films directly. Like when it specifically references Speed.
I haven't seen Speed. That's the one with Keanu Reeves, right?
It is.
And Sandra Bullock.
Yep.
Turns out we found a new Eeler.
And they have to drive in the bus and they have to keep it over a speed limit or it will explode. Or a
bomb will go off. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, what, 55 miles an hour in the bus? Or?
Yeah.
So I've basically seen the movie.
I mean,
I'm sure they survived. They made a speed,
see,
too.
See, what they did here, though, is why it's good, is because you've got the description. You're like, oh, I've seen this movie. But remember, they've just put the bomb under the table. You know it's ticking.
Well, maybe we should talk about... Let's not go into this, because...
That we'll save that for the Speed episode. Yeah.
Because I haven't seen Speed either. I just know that there's a lot more going on. I haven't seen it entire. I've seen the end, I think, on TV.
Okay.
Well, then.
I'm not watching movies with Eric either. We'll be over in the not watching movies corner.
I am just shocked.
Appalled, even?
Less appalled, just more surprised, because I generally assume that John has watched more movies than I have.
I've watched different movies than you.
Yeah, and so I'm constantly surprised when there's one that I have watched that you hadn't.
I think it's more specifically Speed would be one that would have fallen in by Will Camp.
Yeah, that's kind of why I'm surprised. It seems like a kind of movie you would enjoy.
But anyways, do we have anything else we want to say about this movie?
Would you bring this on your desert island?
Oh, no.
Should we all just all agree that...
Yeah, we're still sticking with Street Fighter.
I mean, Street Fighter knows how to KO.
There are movies that have fought Street Fighter. Need for Speed does not. Like, I kind of forgot that it was even a movie. I don't really like car movies to begin with. And well, this is not a good movie on any real metric. It's not horrible. You can't hate watch it.
It's just boring.
It was mostly boring, some points confusing, and they miscast the main actor.
I'm pretty sure they only cast him because of because he was on Breaking Bad.
Was Breaking Bad right now, like, was it season one?
This
is 2014. When did Breaking Bad start?
Let's find out. Breaking Bad. 2008. So they were close. All right,
yeah,
to
so they were running off of... So, one person starring in Godzilla, the other person starring in Need for Speed. That's our Breaking Bad into movies. But yeah, he's miscast because he plays all... He's kind of got a character actor bit where he seems kind of sleazy. Like, whenever he was talking to our British lady, and he said something, and it might have been charming from anyone else, but from him, you were kind of like, eh?
Does that count as, like, sexual harassment? That sounds like sexual harassment. I mean, it wouldn't pass the HR code. Or the HR...
Walking around naked in the office and randomly kissing someone definitely does not.
Pretty sure that is definitely illegal.
That was illegal. And definitely sexual harassment. 100%. No support. That scene was just bad.
Well, this was before me, hashtag me too, so... I mean, I guess all those people got to feel good about being part of that movement, I guess?
See, the hard part, like, with this movie is that I you know, you'd want to go with, you know, it was, there's not a whole lot of all that great car movies out there, but at the same time, like, look at the Fast and the Furious. How many movies in are we now?
I believe the 9th just came out. You know, to date this episode, the family meme is, or the Don family meme is really popular. Or Dom? Oh, Dominic, that's his name, that's right.
Yeah. On your left?
Isn't that Endgame?
But isn't that kind of like an Endgame meme, but in Fast and the Furious?
I've only seen like two Fast and the Furious movies.
So. I've seen none.
First one's good.
I'm free from Fast and Furious.
Yeah, the first one's quite good. And my problem is that the Fast and the Furious came out in 2001. Like, there were 13 years.
I've seen how to do a good
car movie. They're, like, Gone in 60 Seconds had already happened. Like, there were several good car movies that you could use to follow templates.
Speed Racer?
Speed Racer is good in a different way.
Is it, though?
It is.
I'll have to, I saw it once, and... I was with someone who had seen it 17 times.
I'll say Speed Racer probably doesn't qualify as a Cars movie, though.
It does not.
It is an anime movie.
It is, like, it is specifically trying to strike a, like, live action cartoon.
I mean, would you?
And it does that fairly well.
Would you consider Transformers to be more of a better car movie than Need for Speed?
Oh,
I guess we'll have to look and see which sold more cars, Transformers or Need for Speed.
Well, considering the cars they're selling in Need for Speed are limited edition multi-million dollar cars, it has to be Transformers. It's not a fair comparison there.
Yeah, but it was basically a gigantic commercial for the Ford Mustang. Like, they're talking about, oh, how
it
amazing.
Was, it was the that version of the Mustang.
Yeah.
It was, and like the car that they use at the very for most of the race was the prototype for the next year Mustang.
To be fair, that car wasn't even street legal because they didn't have side mirrors on it. It had cameras.
Look, they're not going backwards. You're not driving that car to go backwards. Only go forwards, Eric.
Don't look behind. Look to the future.
What?
Use your visions.
Okay, so I'm confused. Was that a line from the movie?
No.
No.
Okay. It was dumb lines made up that felt right for how dumb this movie is.
But you know what's not dumb?
Our patrons.
Exactly.
We don't even sell you guys concession food.
We can, though, if you'd like. I mean, it's $20 for a small popcorn. Only $21 if you want to upgrade to large, though.
You get a free refill.
We can combo that with a drink. For only $4.95.
And you might extra. And we won't even sell you on Raid Shadow Legends.
Yet.
But all serious, yes, thanks to our patrons. You guys are awesome. But don't forget to leave a like and a comment and complain about our plot holes and our solutions and how much you hate that Palpatine returned. On Facebook.
Put your favorite cart in a Twitter post. They attach pictures now. You don't even have to use your full 248 characters and send it to us at PlotSpacklePodcast.
It's just plot at
PlotSpacklePod.
How did you screw up?
Simple.
Because he doesn't do the Twitter one. I do.
Yeah, I don't do the Twitter one, but it felt right.
Well, since we're all being topsy-turvy now.
But you get to do email.
I am going to do email. You can send us an email at PlotSpacklePodcast@gmail.com and let us know why your favorite car, and I want it bulleted. Why your favorite car is your favorite car. What are the specs on it? Top speed, square pounds of horsepower, or no. What is the horsepower of that car? How it compares to the Bugatti Veyron, which tops out at 1,000 horsepower.
And why is your favorite car the Dacia Sandero?
All right. And then I have like two questions here. Is Dino Dino's real name, or is that short for Ronaldinho? And is an Anita like a dinosaur girl, kind of like there's horse girls, and is that why she's dating him?
Well, I think Dino is more for Dino, which is I don't actually know what the full name of it, but it's a you use it to measure like car horsepower, so it's a pun, I guess. It's his bad racing nickname.
It's like his real name.
Maybe his parents gave him a bad car racing nickname. And she, yes, likes dinosaurs?
She likes dinosaurs. That's a band name.
What would they play?
Experimental rock.